to the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 19, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 19. When you find your place there, I also want you to go over to the book of Psalm, if you would please, the book of Psalms and chapter number 78, the book of Psalm 78, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 19. For those that were in the service last Sunday morning, of course, you know we've been studying and preaching and trying to teach through the Gospel of Matthew. And, of course, if you were here last week, you know and realize that certainly we talked about God's plan for marriage in the verses last week there here in chapter number 19 in verses 1 through 12. Today, I want to look at God's passion for the children. Look at God's plan for marriage. And today, I don't know if I get through everything that I want to this morning. If not, we'll come back and finish it up tonight. But I want to look at God's passion for the children. And certainly God does have a special place, I believe, in His heart for the children. I believe we find that in our text here this morning before us in Matthew chapter number 19. You'd say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with us? Well, if it's a special place in the heart of our Savior, it ought to be a special place in our heart as well today. And so God has and I find it interesting here in the text, and it's not by accident this morning that we talked about marriage last week, and of course Jesus dealing not only with marriage and divorce, but then certainly we find today that He lets us know about His passion for the children, because certainly this thing of family and divorce and all the things that transpire through that has a great impact, if you will, on the children. And so I'm not going to try to deal with all of that this morning, but I just want to take these verses of Scripture and give you a few thoughts today that God's placed upon my heart for the service this morning. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand this morning, that'd be great. And if you're not, that's certainly okay. Matthew chapter number 19. Let's look at three verses of Scripture, verses 13, 14, and 15. Then were there brought, now notice that in verse 13, then were there brought unto Him little children, that He should put His hands on them and pray. And then notice the latter part of verse number 13, and the disciples rebuked them. Notice what Jesus says in verse number 14. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 15, I love the scene. I wish somehow that we could get in our hearts and our minds the scene that's taking place here as Jesus takes in the little children and He places His hands upon them and takes them up in His lap, if you will. What a beautiful scene that we have here. And then verse 15 says, and He laid His hands on them and departed thence. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 78, starting in verse number 5. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come, notice I like verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set, notice in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. Hallelujah. Boy, if I could get anything related to you today, friend. Hallelujah for the children, that they get their hope set in God, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep His commandments. May the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank You again for this good day. Thank You for health and thank You for strength. Thank You for the opportunity and the privilege to be back in Your house this morning. Thank You for the teaching of the Word of God. Thank You for the beautiful singing, the testimonies. Lord, all that's been done in Your name, Father, I thank You and I praise You. But now, Lord, as Your servant, I pray, God, once again, that You'd anoint me with fresh oil. God, I need Your help. God, I need Your touch. Lord, we're dealing with a subject this morning that I believe is very crucial, Lord, in the very day and hour in which we live. I pray this morning, God, that you would help me, touch me, anoint me. God, use me, give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. I pray this morning, God, you'd bind every hindrance. I realize that Satan would love to hinder this morning, but God, you give us liberty this morning. And then I pray our ears and hearts will be open and receptive, God, to that which you have for us here this morning through the Word of God. And I pray this morning, God, you'll bless every child, Lord, in this building this morning. God, I pray that you'll touch them. And God, I pray that you'd help them, and I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as parents and grandparents and as adults and church members today, that we'd live before them in such a manner, Lord, that they would set their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you'll touch me. I pray you'll help me. And most of all, for someone here today, and Lord, they've never put their trust in you, I pray today would be the good day. Lord, they come and bow this altar and cry out unto you, you, Lord Jesus, be merciful unto me, a sinner. God, you take the message. God, use us this morning. I yield myself to your hands and your will. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Just for a few moments this morning, I'll try not to hold you too long. I realize time's slipping away. But this morning, I hope you come today seeking something from the Word of God, for God to touch our hearts and help us here in the service this morning. Again, we looked at God's plan for marriage today. Let us look at God's passion for the children. Just as Jesus dealt with marriage, we see in today's text how that he also had a passion for the children. As we consider how that Jesus himself dealt with the children, let us also consider not only our children, but how we should desire to reach all the children, certainly with the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they were important to Jesus, they should be important to us. And so this morning, I want to consider this thought again this morning, God's passion for the children. Psalms 127:3 says, lo, as the psalmist there says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Psalms 139:14, the Bible says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. John said this in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I understand as John is writing that epistle that he's speaking about, especially the children of God. But I believe there's application even to our children today. There's no greater joy than to hear that our children this morning walk in truth. In other words, the truth of the Word of God. There could be no greater joy here this morning to know that your children are saved and redeemed by the good grace of God, that your grandchildren are saved, hallelujah, by the good grace of God. And folks, there's children all around us this morning. I'll be honest with you, we finished up at the school this week with our Good News Club, and I'm thankful for all that God's done in our 5 years of being there and planting the seed of the Word of God. But God began to burden my heart, certainly about some different situations concerning those children there. God began to burden my heart. Are we really taking full advantage of what we could in ministering the Word of God to the heart? So you help us pray about that. I want to make sure that we try to do our very best to reach this generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not only to reach children, but to reach whomever we can. But friend, I'll tell you, children, hallelujah, have a tender heart. Children have a listening ear. And I truly believe today, if we're going to reach this generation, we're going to have to reach these young people. I want to see every one of these children that were seated or standing on these steps this morning. If they've not been saved, I want to see them come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see those that's not yet been born. I want to see them come to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's no greater joy than knowing that your children are walking in the truth today. And thank God, Jesus. Now, Jesus had a passion for all people. But I believe today we we see something that's so special in our text before us today. Though they bring the little children, Jesus has been teaching on marriage and divorce. And as we said, divorce this morning, I'll tell you what, it has its effect, especially when it comes to the children. Could it have been that there were some parents there that had some children? Maybe they had been through a divorce. Maybe they'd been through a terrible time. And we see that they want to bring them to Jesus. I don't know what the situation was. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we see that they had, I want you to get this. They had a desire to get those children to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to be our desire this morning, church, is to get them to Jesus. It's not about them being popular. It's not about certainly the school that they're going to attend and the ball that they're going to play. Listen, I understand all that's a part of life. But today, friend, there's no greater joy than getting your children to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater need than getting them to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ has a passion for the children. I feel for our young people. I feel for these children. The godless society that we are now experiencing, somebody better get a passion for the children. As I said, we need to have a passion for all people, but especially the children. Why? Because I truly believe today that we see a Savior that has a passion for the children. I've got three things that I want to share, and I'm probably not going to get through all of them, but let me give them to you, and then if I don't get them filled in, I'll come back and I try to finish filling in tonight. But first of all, I see a problem with His disciples. I see a problem with His disciples, the disciples of Jesus. I see a problem. Not only do I see a problem with His disciples, but I see a personal touch of the Lord Jesus. Amen. A personal touch of the Lord Jesus. But then I thought about this. Thirdly, I see the prayer of Jesus. Amen. Boy, I'd like to cover all that this morning, but I know I don't have time. So if I don't get it all filled in, I want you to come back tonight. I want you to come back tonight, bring your children, because I got some things I want to share with you. But the first thing that I thought about concerning these children today, and as we think about children, and we said the first thing that we want to look at is the problem with His disciples. Now, the Bible didn't fill in the blanks of why those disciples rebuked them that was bringing those children to Jesus. The Bible didn't tell us. I thought about this as I thought about children. I thought about several things about children. I want to give those quickly before I get into these main points this morning. I thought about the faith of a child. How trusting that a child is. Amen. There's the faith of a child. As a matter of fact, if you remember in chapter number 18 where Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Why? Because children are trusting. What does God want you and I to do this morning? He wants you and I to trust Him. Now, many of you sitting here this morning, and maybe you have not come to that place in your life to where you have really put your trust and your faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Lord, wherever you want me to go, Lord, whatever you want me to do, Lord, just help me this morning that I would trust you. That's what we need to do. But I thought about the faith of children. I thought about the fear of a child. Do you understand this morning that most children have some kind of fear? Now, I know there's some that seems as though they have no fear. But when you get right down to it, every child has some kind of fear. Why? Because unfortunately, as human beings, there's things that we all fear. Now, we can't live on fear, and we can't make that our address, but unfortunately today, there's so many children that are living in fear. And it should not be that way. Man, I tell you what, if anybody is safe and anybody is loved, anybody is cared for, it ought to be the children. But I'll be honest with you, Our children are under attack, even in our homes. Many of them do not feel safe. Is that not the saddest thing you've ever heard of? I thought about the fear of a child. Now, go back to when you were a child. There was something that you feared. But I'm glad we got one today, thank God, that can vanish and vanquish all fears. And His name is Jesus. But I thought about not only the faith of a child, I thought about the fear of a child. I thought about the friendship of a child. If you make friends with a child, they'll never forget it. But I can also say today, if you ever hurt a child, you ever mistreat a child, they don't forget it either. Jesus had a passion for the children. I thought about the faith. I thought about the fear. I thought about the friendship. In other words, in that friendship today, there's a love that children have. Not only did I think about the faith and the fear and the friendship, but I thought about the foolishness of children. That's Bible. That's the reason they need discipline. That's the reason they need correction. Let me share this verse of Scripture with you. I know I've got to hurry, but Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Discipline, correction. If they're not disciplined, if they're not corrected, then friend, they take over. And that's not their place. That's not what God intended for them. They need proper correction, not abuse. And I think the preacher even mentioned this week in revival. They need discipline. They need correction, just as we as adults. Amen. Just as we as adults need correction. And we have a Heavenly Father today. If you're saved by the grace of God, when you step out of line, He's going to be right there to correct us. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, if you'll ever get saved by the good grace of God, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, because thank God you've been bought with a price, and that price being the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And when you and I get out of line, I'm glad, thank God, there's a Holy Ghost that comes by to where I am and lets me know that I've stepped out of line, and God sends correction. Children have a sin nature just like we have a sin nature. And the problem with so many children today is not necessarily the children, but maybe it's the parents. Oh my, I knew we wouldn't go to swing from the chandeliers again this morning. But I'm trying to help you with the Word of God. God not only has a plan for marriage, but God has a passion for the children. And that's proven in this text. There's the faith and the fear and the friendship and the foolishness. But what about the forgiveness of a child? Aren't they usually quick to forgive? Boy, I tell you what, there's so many great lessons that we can learn from children, but let us get back to the text now. And the reason I give you all those, here we have the scene before us this morning, and Jesus has just been teaching on marriage and divorce. And here comes, it don't say how many we find here in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Luke. All three give us an account of people bringing their children to the Lord Jesus. Because, woo, hallelujah. They hurt. Well, get a hold of this right here. I could about preach this point right here and go to the house, but I probably won't. Hey, man. They heard and saw something in Jesus. They heard and saw something in Jesus that they, Brother Randy, wanted to get their babies to. They wanted them, They wanted to bring their children to the Lord Jesus and Him put His hands on them and pray for them. Oh, how special that is. I don't know about glory to God. That does something for me this morning. That makes them glory bumps run up down my back this morning to know there's a God in heaven today. All the children that are abused, all the children that are just sold to the side, there's a Savior this morning. Thank God that loves them, has hands extended to them, and somebody needs to get them to Jesus this morning. They saw and they heard something in this man by the name of Jesus. Now, I understand that they physically brought those children to Jesus. But listen, He's just as available today. He's just as available today. He's just a prayer away. He's just a whisper away. Oh, aren't you glad today that we have a Savior this morning that's available? And Lord, help us today to get the children to Jesus today, my friend. First thing I want you to see today, as we said, I want you to see the problem with His disciples. Here they come. Jesus has been teaching on marriage and divorce. And Jesus told him, said, it wasn't so from the beginning. We talked about that last week, and I'm not going to go back and rehash that. But here they bring them. And the disciples, notice, the Bible says, His disciples. These men that had been following, hey, Jesus is getting closer and closer to Calvary. For almost 3 years now, these men have been walking and talking and seeing the miracles. And Jesus has already dealt with the children. There could have been a great mob of folks coming. I don't know. But notice there's a problem with His disciples. I may not get off this one point, but I'm wondering today sometimes, is there a problem with His disciples? Disciples. Preacher, you ain't talking about me, are you? Well, I might be. Oh, my. I would say this today. It would be a sad day for an individual sitting in this church this morning to say that they're saved by the good grace of God and cause a child to stumble. I'm preaching good, don't you die on me. That would cause a child to stumble. Would cause you and I to do something to keep a child from getting to Jesus. But there's a problem with His disciples. Notice the text. Then were there brought unto Him little children. I think it's Mark or Luke 1 that says infants. Preacher, how old were they? Don't make any difference. They just wanted to get them to Jesus. Well, preacher, they can't get saved till they reach the age of accountability. I understand that. And I believe that's what the Bible teaches us. But just as quick as you can get them to Jesus and get them under the preaching of the Word of God, the greater opportunity it is for them to be saved. Thank God when God begins to knock on their heart's door. Adam made the statement in our testimonies, was it last week or a couple of weeks, whenever it was, he'd had a drug problem. And somebody said, oh my gosh, I didn't know the preacher's boy had a drug problem. Well, he did. He was drugged to church every Sunday morning. When we had Sunday night service, Wednesday night service, revival time, Bible school time, any time there was anything going on at the house of God that we needed to be there for and could get them under the preaching of the Word of God and get them around the fellowship of God's people, you know where they were at? They were in the house of God. And some of you are allowing your children to miss out on opportunities. Listen, I ain't trying to be hard on you. I realize we live in a busy world. I realize we live in busy times. But if you're not careful, you are missing out on opportunities to get your children to Jesus. Preacher, that's a little tough this morning. I'm trying to help you. I'd a whole lot rather see him here than see him in jail. I'd a whole lot rather see him here than see him in the hospital. Because mom and daddy got out of the will of God. Woo, preacher, that's tough this morning. I'm trying to help you. Oh, preacher, God wouldn't do that. God's a God of love. Oh, yes, He is. But, friend, He also today is a God of judgment. If you and I will not follow Him, if we're truly His, and we won't follow Him, that chastisement can and will come. God gave you those children. God can take those children away. Now, I'm not suggesting Him to do that. Lord, no, don't you go out of here saying that that's what the preacher said. I'm not suggesting. I'm just simply saying, God give you those children. And you ought to do everything you can to get them to Jesus. I ain't even got started good yet. Those children are a blessing. Those children out there today that are being abused and neglected. Do you realize there's a God in heaven today that still loves them? And I'm going to say this. And I'm going to say it publicly right here in this church. Anybody that would harm or abuse a child or sexually assault a child, there is something bad wrong with them. And I'll tell you what it is. It's the devil. But notice, they bring their children to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has a passion for the children. Notice the problem with his disciples. The Bible says the disciples rebuked them. That word rebuked, it means to forbid. It means to forbid. Mark 10:14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Jesus wasn't happy with his disciples. Mark lets us know he was much displeased. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying again to you and I today. It's displeasing to the Lord when we stand in the way of the children. I want you to notice something this day. And so we find in verse 13 that the disciples rebuked, don't bring the children. And so I wrote down this one word. Why? Why? Again, the Bible doesn't fill in the why. And here these disciples have been following Jesus and seen how Jesus loves and how Jesus forgives. I mean, all the things that He was. The disciples rebuke Him. Boy, you know what? Let's just put it down in common day English. It made Jesus mad. Oh, preacher, Jesus didn't get mad. Read your Bible a little better than that. I believe if anything angers Him today, it's keeping people from getting to Jesus. He was much displeased. I thought about why. Well, number one, I thought about, well, maybe they think it's a bother. You know how children are. I mean, I know they're all precious and innocent, and none of them. I mean, they're just a bunch of angels, and the only thing they like flying away is just having wings. They're children. They're going to be aggravating sometimes. They've got a sin nature, just like you and I have. Well, preacher, when do they start sinning? When they start crying when there's nothing wrong. Wah! Ain't the thing wrong. Ain't a thing wrong. Kind of like some adults I know. Hey, man, I might have just pulled up here and put her in park a minute. Hey, man. Nothing wrong. They just cry. The problem with the disciples, maybe they thought it was a bother to Jesus. Could I say today, it's not a bother to get children to Jesus. It's not a bother. Maybe they thought it was a bother. Maybe they thought he was too busy. Man, Jesus was busy. Jesus was busy. Man, he had his face set to go to Calvary. He thanked God was going to Calvary, and there wasn't nothing going to stop him from getting to Calvary. But he wasn't too busy to sit down for a few minutes and lay his hand on some children and pray over them and bless them. I'm glad we're serving a God this morning that's not too busy. They thought it was too busy. They thought it was a bother. Like a little girl, I mean, that was just a wonderful example. The Lord just worked all that out this morning. The little lady steps out and she's a little bit apprehensive. Did you see that? But when I said, come on, honey, I'll go with you. Man, she just come trotting right on up here. Just tickled to be here. Our job's not to keep them from Jesus. Our job's to get them to Jesus. If he has compassion, if he has passion, then you and I should have passion. Oh, Lord. Lord, help me. I know I've got to get done. Notice not only the problem with his disciples, and I move on to my second point, and I'll close. It may take me a while, but I'll close. There's the problem with his disciples, but then notice the personal touch of Jesus. In other words, this morning, he is interested in the children, and so should we. Mark 10:16, and he took them up in his arms. Could you imagine? The one that was getting ready to go to Calvary. The one that loved us enough to give his own very life there on the cross of Calvary had time to sit down and take those children up into his arms and put his hands on them and bless them. Oh, today, my friend, I see this morning a personal touch of Jesus. You know what every one of these children need this morning? They need a personal touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you saying, preacher? He's not here this morning to reach out his hands. Oh, yes, friend. I'm glad he's here. I'm glad he's present. I'm glad he's available. And thank God this morning, I'm glad that he can give us a touch like nobody else. I'm glad for the personal touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says the preacher done lost his mind now. Well, if he ever touches you, you won't ever forget it. Hey, man, if he ever touches you, you won't ever forget it. And if he ever touches you, you know what you want him to do? You want him to touch you again and again and again. Yeah. Notice the personal touch of Jesus to these children. He gets his disciples in line. Woo! Maybe that's what he needs to do this morning, is get some of his disciples in line. Woo! Preacher, that's pretty rough. Well, I'm just being honest. Three touches I want to look at. First of all, there's a touch of affirmation. A touch of affirmation. In other words, they need to know that they are included in God's plan. a touch of affirmation. There's something about a touch. Now, I can stand here and tell Brother Archie, I love you. But it means a whole lot more when I'll reach out my hand and say, Amen. Archie, I love you. It affirms that there's something special. Man. That you are included. That you are special. That you are significant. Every child needs a touch of affirmation.
Amen.
Every child deserves a touch. Praise God, I'm a manly man. I touch my children to beat my head on the backside of their britches. If that's the only way you ever touch your children. Friend, they'll never have the affirmation that they are special, that they are significant, and they are. Not only do I got to hurry. I don't want to get bogged down right here, but I know some of you just dying to go. I can see it in your eyes. There's a touch of affirmation. Also, there's a touch of attention. You say, preacher, what are you talking about, a touch of attention? Children desire and need attention. Amen. They need your attention. Well, preacher, what's that got to do with us getting them to Jesus? Well, if we're going to get them to Jesus, they got to know somebody affirms and loves them and that they are good. And they need to know that somebody has some affection for them or gives them some attention. And having the opportunity to go to the school and deal with the children, one of the greatest things that needs I see with some of those children is all they're looking for is some attention. Because mom and daddy's not giving it to them at home.
Amen.
Children desire, children yearn, children want attention. That's the reason some of them act like they do, is to get your attention. Aren't you glad we've got a Heavenly Father this morning? We don't have to act out to get His attention. Oh, my! Notice the personal touch. I see a touch of affirmation. I see a touch of attention. In other words, Jesus laid those very hands that would soon be nailed to a cross. He laid on the hands of those children, or on the lives, and a personal touch to those children. There's a touch of affirmation. There's a touch for attention. And then thirdly today, and I'll be done. About got ahead of myself, but there's a touch of attention. Or an affection, excuse me. A touch of affection. What's affection mean? Love. See, in the Jewish culture, when the children would come to the father, the father would lay his hands on that child. Especially if it was the firstborn son and all that. I'm not going to get it. But I believe that they had done it not only to that firstborn son, but I believe to their children. They laid their hands on those children and prayed a blessing over their children. I still believe it wouldn't be bad today. Oh, somebody's getting a little nervous now. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want your child to be saved, if you want your child to grow up to serve God, if you want your children to be everything God wants them to be, somebody better be praying for them. And if Jesus was willing to pray for them, you and I should be willing to pray for them. And I'm going to talk about that more tonight. But there's a touch of affirmation. You are special. You are important. You are significant. There's a touch dealing with attention. In other words, Jesus said, I'm not too busy for you. Come on in. And then thirdly, there's the touch of affection. When Jesus touched those children knew that he loved them. Preacher, you're just adding stuff. No. If Jesus ever touches you, you know that he loves you.
Man.
And children are looking for love.
God.
And could I say this morning? Children deserve to be loved. And it breaks my heart this morning to know that there's children out there today. Now, I don't think we have anybody like that here this morning. But they are not being loved. Children deserve to be loved. And I'm glad there's one that loves them. But also today, we need to be his disciples that not rebukes the children, but invites the children to come. Now, we've been dealing with children there at the school for 5 years now. And some of them little fellows will come. They'll come to every time you counsel, they'll come. They will. Some of them just to get out. Let's just be honest. They're children. Most time me and Miss Cindy does the counseling with the children. She'll take part and I'll take part and I'll say, I'll look at her name tag, I'll call and say, what's your question? What can I help you with? Well, they don't all get saved. But if they got a question, we try to answer that question. We just kept sowing the seed. Just keep sowing the seed. Just keep sowing the seed. Just keep sowing the seed. And somewhere somebody will get it. Not my job to save them, it's my job to show them God's love and God's way. I'm simply saying this to us this morning as parents and as a church. God has a plan for marriage, but God has a passion for the children. And we ought to do everything we can to reach every child we can while we can. Children need affirmation. Children need affection. Children need attention. And Lord, help us to give them the kind that God has given to you and I. I see the disciples' problem. I see their problem. But I see the personal touch of Jesus. He lays his hands on them. And then I see the prayer of Jesus, and we'll talk about that, Lord willing, tonight. Think about Jesus not only taking those children up in his arms, but then he begins to pray over them. Parents, I'll be honest with you, there's probably nothing no greater than you could do is to pray over your children. You can teach them everything in the world, and listen, you need to teach them. But there's nothing no greater than you can do for them than to pray over them. That God will bless them. And God will help them. God has a passion for the children. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Scott, if you want to come get us a song, or Brother Justin, you come. You come get a song of invitation. Preacher, what's all this got to do with us this morning? Maybe you need to come pray over your children. Maybe you need to come pray with your children. Maybe we've been like those disciples sometimes and we've kind of gotten away. But maybe those children getting to Jesus. We ought to do everything we can to point them to Jesus. Father, I love you this morning. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, you'll take this invitation right now. I pray that you'll touch it. I pray that you'd use it. I pray that we'd be obedient. I pray that we'd be submissive. And Lord, I'm glad today that you do have a passion for the children. Lord, help us to have the same. And Lord, if there happened to be one here today that's never trusted you as their Savior, I pray today would be the good day, Lord, they'd step out by faith and come and receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, I commit the invitation to your hands. God, you work, you move, you speak.